This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, January 19th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 3.5 hours. The other 20 and a half, those are certainly your responsibility.
That's
right. We're on until 6:30 today because of the Rangers pregame show. And there's been so many things going on, and some people took me to task on Twitter earlier today. And you know what? They bring up a good point. We never even got a chance yesterday to talk about how well the Rangers played in the second game against the Islanders. And again, there's so many things happening that you almost have to edit on the fly. We didn't get a chance to talk that much about the Knicks. And you know, we're not going to get a chance that much today to talk about what a great game the Nets had against the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday. But some things, like the Jared Porter firing today, are simply more important than some of the things that we have to leave out on a daily basis.
And also, can we get this straightened out? We had a little fun yesterday with the whole, you know, Michael bringing up a Yankee story, Peter bringing up a Tiger thing, which I watched a little of the Tiger last night, and it's really, really good.
Told
but
you.
It was Monday.
You watched part one?
Yes. Monday's just special. I'm sorry. Especially during the playoffs. So everybody has got to file in line, all right, on a Monday. That's all I'm saying. And Friday's becoming that too. So we make it work for the 3.5 of the 4 hours that we're on. But it was Monday. Give us a break.
Exactly.
We had 4 games to recap in the NFL. I don't feel bad for a second.
Well, today we don't start off with anything fun. That's for sure. You know, as we just mentioned, at the 2:55 spot, I read the story by Jeff Passan and Mina Kimes of ESPN, and I was stunned. Not stunned that it goes on, but stunned that a guy that seemingly was so well-respected throughout baseball, Jared Porter, who has risen through the ranks, that he would be this dim-witted to abuse somebody like this. You know, it was a foreign correspondent that he ran into, just met her once in an elevator at Yankee Stadium, and started to text her, and she didn't answer back a lot. Now, there was some answering back. She thought he was a source. She didn't have a great command of the English language. And in the story, they didn't say who she was. But then he became more flirtatious, and, you know, she stopped answering him. And what was it, Peter? 62 unanswered texts?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, talk about being tone deaf. And then the last text was a picture that you just don't send out, and I don't want to say it on the show, but you know the story by now. Somebody was exposed, and a picture was taken, and it was sent to this young lady, and she has kept her mouth shut for a couple of years. But then, as she saw Jared Porter rise through the industry, she finally decided, okay, I'll tell my story. Why should this guy be rewarded for being such a deviant? And the story came out. Sandy Alderson addressed it immediately. I thought the Mets handled about as well as they could. And today, right before 8 o'clock in the morning, Steve Cohen texted out, "We have terminated Jared Porter." I'm paraphrasing. We can't have this sort of behavior go on with the New York Mets. And I think that was the right thing to do. But it does beg a lot of questions, everybody. Number one, what kind of vetting was done on this guy? And how many people in baseball covered for him? And in the story, there's a section where this young woman actually told what Jared Porter did to somebody high up in the Cubs who tried not to take a side. Imagine trying not to take a side. So, you know, it's a boys club is what it is. Right. The world is a boys club when it comes to sports, and it's tough for women, and it shouldn't be. It's disgraceful that it is, that any woman should have to go to work and be made to feel uncomfortable. But who on the Cubs knew? And when Sandy Alderson was doing his due diligence on this guy, did anybody at the Cubs, like, warn him that this stuff is out there? Jared Porter obviously didn't. He wanted to go away. I don't know if he knew that ESPN had the story, and we're going to try to get – I think we're going to get Jeff Passan on in the 5 o'clock hour. Supposedly ESPN had the story for 3 years, so why did they sit on it for this long? Maybe it was just the fact that the woman didn't want to go public with it. But the bottom line is so many layers of the story are wrong. I think the only person that did anything right was Steve Cohen. There was no nonsense about we've decided to part ways. No nonsense giving this guy a soft landing by saying, you know, he's decided to step away. No, we terminated him. We can't have this sort of behavior with the New York Mets. And that was a good job by Cohen. But, boy, I'm sure that Steve Cohen, who holds his people that work for him, you know, responsible for everything, he can't be that thrilled with Sandy Alderson. This is the guy that Sandy Alderson landed on. And, boy, this is not a good look. Now, in successive years, the Mets have had a manager that never made it to the regular season, and they have a GM that's never made it to the regular season.
Right.
It's not a great look.
But I guess reading the story, and we'll talk to Jeff Passan to get a little bit deeper into this thing, I guess it's believable that the Mets wouldn't know, because it doesn't look like this story really made it past that one executive with the Cubs.
Right.
And why would the woman want the story to be sat on? Well, think about it. She's not from this country. We don't know what country she's from. But she might come from a country where women have no say in anything.
Well, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
Right. So, trying to back it up. You know, it's a he said, she said type of thing. You know how it's like in other countries when you just even decide you even think that you're an equal to a man, all right? So she's got that situation, not knowing how it works in the United States. And even knowing how it works in the United States, she goes to an executive who says, I don't want to take sides. So it doesn't seem like it's gaining a lot of traction when she does bring it up. And she's probably thinking to herself, I don't want to end up being that person that's trying to bring down an executive, not getting any support, and I end up looking like the bad guy. So ESPN sits on the story because she just doesn't want it to get out there. So because only a handful of people know it and she doesn't want to make it public, I guess it's very feasible that the Mets wouldn't know and the people above this executive on the Cubs wouldn't know.
I don't think they knew, Don. I don't think the Mets knew.
Right. So we could talk about the vetting of it. As soon as this became a story, last night, before I'm getting ready for bed, I find out about the story. I wake up this morning, I see a tweet from Steve Cohen that the guy's out of a job. None of this we're going to investigate. None of this we're going to talk to people. Let's listen to all the radio stations and see what people have to say. And then a week from now, fire the guy. It was immediate. One second he's there, the next second he's gone. So this whole idea, well, typical Mets, maybe it's typical Mets that it happened to them, but the way they handle it's night and day compared to some of the controversies that have been around this organization. And I didn't hear it with some PR spin, some sort of a non-descriptive press release, you know, days later, where you're wondering who made the decision, or none of this mutual parting of the ways to give Jared Porter a chance to get up from this. It was the head of this Mets team, the face of this Mets team right now, Steve Cohen, who has used social media in the best way possible since he's purchased the team to let his fan base know, I got this. I'm taking care of this. So this is not your typical Mets. So from that standpoint, you could feel good, and I think it was handled in the best way humanly possible.
There's so many layers to this, because the thing that jumps out at me, if somebody did this once, that's not the only time they did it. So was this in this guy's playbook and really no one knew about it? He rose to such a level with the Cubs under Theo Epstein. Nobody knew that this was in this guy's playbook. Then he gets a big job with the Diamondbacks. Nobody ever noticed that, wow, that's a weird way to approach women. And then he gets hired by the Mets, and finally ESPN writes the story, and boom, he's gone. And I don't think he'll ever get a job again in Major League Baseball. So when you say, you know, there's a lot of people on Twitter, well, this is cancel culture at its best. This guy won't, you know, his life is ruined. Well,
oh, come on.
Sorry.
No.
Again, he ruined the woman's life. She left the business because she was so petrified. When she was around a ballpark where he was, she hid from him. So he ruined a life. Now, I don't want to see anybody not be able to work, But, you know, there are punishments for things that you do. And it's a tough call. And I don't think this is cancel culture at all. This isn't cancel culture. No. He did something that was reprehensible.
Peter, to me, cancel culture that bothers me is when somebody's opinion ends up getting them wiped from the face of the earth. This is an opinion. I think everybody can agree this is an awful thing to do to somebody.
Yeah, this is not in the conversation.
This is the, you know, this is not culture. They're exchanging pictures back and forth. I mean, this sounds like it's complete harassment. Texting her over and over and over and over and over again, and then that final text comes home, and then you know, then what happens after the text about did I offend you with it? Hey, come on, this is a fireable offense. Period. Don't tell. This isn't somebody's political beliefs. This isn't somebody that, you know, had something to say that was taken out of context. This isn't digging up somebody's past from 100 years ago and taking a statue down. This is something that happened less than 5 years ago. That is, it's deplorable behavior. It just is. Period. It's fireable offense. Plain and simple.
The thing that has to be taken care of, and Major League Baseball has to investigate this, and has to investigate who knew of Porter's doings where he was. And those people, they rooted out as well, because there's just an endemic problem. And, you know, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. This is professional athletes in all the sports that think the world is theirs for the taking. And sooner or later, they'll get it. Because they've been given everything they want in life. And for a long time, it was a male-dominated industry. It's still male-dominated. And there are women that do get jobs in this industry. And it's almost looked at as an invitation. Well, this is a woman that I could, like, ask out. And then it gets even out of control. There's no place in any business in 2021 where a woman gets a job and should be made to feel uncomfortable. And I understand also a lot of women throughout the years have been made to feel uncomfortable and they don't say a word. And you know why they don't say a word? Because they don't want to lose their job. Now, it wouldn't be an overt, okay, you're gone. But sooner or later, you would lose your contacts, that people would freeze you out. That's got to stop too. It just has to stop. It's a place of business. It's not a club. It's not a disco. It's a place of business. So a woman should not be made to feel uncomfortable. And I'm sure, again, as I mentioned earlier, there are women that go through this all the time. Little snide comments, side looks, comments that you would never, ever make. You would want somebody to make it to your daughter, but they make it because, again, it's a sports situation.
I know.
No, no, no. It's wrong, and it shouldn't be put up with. And Major League Baseball has to really get to the bottom of it. And all sports, not just Major League Baseball. Let's not put it on Major League Baseball. NBA, NHL, NFL. It's the way of life, and it's wrong.
And I already see people on hold already, and I already have seen it on social media. Why did it take her so long to come out? Why did she wait now? Oh, it's ironic that she waited until he got a general manager's position to blow the whistle. What we found out through Me Too is how difficult it is for the victim to come out, especially in a world where it's dominated by the aggressor. Like, she went to the Cubs, and the answer back from the executive is, I don't want to take sides. Like, it's not like, I am going to let people know immediately about this, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. There's somebody that's not completely on board. They're not, women sometimes are not believed. It's, oh, what is she complaining about now? Obviously, she's trying to become, you know, that person that's going to try to ruin somebody's life by something that happened. We make it seem from a male standpoint that it's so easy to blow the whistle the second something happens. But it's hard because people don't want to believe it when they hear it. And then you get kind of thrown to the side as that you're a troublemaker. You're trying to better your career. You're trying to ruin somebody's life. And when you see a male-dominated world where the people that you're blowing the whistle on are the same people that have to sometimes make the decisions on whether they're going to believe this or not, it's hard. It's very difficult to come forward. Haven't we seen that over the last few years, how difficult it is? And it's not even just men and women. I mean, Theo Fleury was sexually abused by his coach in Canada, didn't come out till years afterward because nobody wanted to hear from him. Nobody wanted to believe him. So he waited until he had the stature to be able to stand up, write a book, and blow the whistle on it. How is this woman who's not from this country, you know, is somebody that has trouble speaking English, somebody that wants to be able to make it into this business, all of a sudden blow the whistle on a guy that's above her in stature in the business, and then also tell other males that probably don't want to hear it that something happened and went wrong? And the one person she did talk to, it wasn't completely received in the way she wanted to receive it. Can't you picture in your mind how difficult that must have been for her to let the world know that it happened when there's so many people that don't want to believe it did?
I'll tell you what, I've thought this like through and extrapolated out, and you try to personalize it, right? So if my daughter went into the sports business and anybody did that to her, my first inclination would be to go find the guy and wrap him across the head with a bat. It wouldn't, I can't even fathom that I could deal with it. And all of these women that have to go through this, they're somebody's daughter. They're somebody's daughter. They're probably afraid or ashamed to go back and tell their father. It's heartbreaking. And this woman is out of the business now because this guy spooked her for his actions. 62 straight unanswered texts. At some point, I don't know, you got to take the hint.
And do you really want to hear if you're her? Oh, come on, it's only a picture. Give me a, you know, it's a text. Just ignore it. Well, why should she be put through that? Why does she have to be the one that have to pivot, right? Yep. Why is she the one that has to tolerate it?
I mean, that's a sad story.
That's the problem. So I'm just saying, just put yourself in the victim's shoes here. It's just so easy to blow the whistle and say, I want this guy fired. When it's and remember, with the timeline of Me Too, when exactly that became the thing, this might have been before that. When the world really changed, and people begin. What's that?
I think it was 2016.
Right, so right around that time. So think about the world was before that. The whole reason that Me Too happened was because there were people that didn't believe they had a voice in these types of situations. And then she was. It might be easier now to do it, but I don't know how easy it would have been in 2016 when this was happening there.
I will tell you this, everybody, and we'll take some phone calls. A lot of people want to talk about this. This is probably not the only woman that this has happened to. There are women in this business that I've become good friends with, and I bet you every single one of them has a story. Maybe 10, maybe 20, where they're almost trained to ignore it or laugh it away. But it makes them feel uncomfortable. I've heard some of these stories. Not good. Not good.
I'm with you, Michael. I can't believe it's as much a thing as it apparently is. It's just incredible that somebody could think that's a good idea. And this isn't something where you get caught up in some sort of relationship where you're kind of exchanging photos. I mean, how did he think that was something that she even want to see after she's not even responding to your text messages?
It shows. A real issue. I mean, like someone who's really got something going on. I mean, it was 60 messages?
No, is it, Peter,
over
is,
a few weeks?
Is he a deviant? Is he someone that is that socially awkward it doesn't get it? Or is he somebody who thinks to himself, I don't care. It doesn't matter how she feels about it. It's something I feel like doing, and I'm not really worried because when she tries to say something about it, I know I have the backing to make this go away.
No, I don't even think he thinks that. I think I lean more toward Peter. There's got to be an issue there, and I think it's a man in a position of power who feels that, well, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to go out and get. Now, here's Buster Olney. He was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and he talked about the importance of firing Porter swiftly.
It was hugely important. And in fact, I was a little bit surprised that it didn't happen last night. Once Jared Porter acknowledges, I'm assuming in conversation with Sandy Alderson, that yes, he had sent these, then I don't think there's a decision to be made, Kate.
Now, he went on to say he was surprised that Alderson had hired Porter anyway.
Sandy Alderson, who is a team president, you know, didn't have a prior working relationship with Jared Porter. There were people in baseball who were surprised that he hired someone that he didn't know firsthand. From his perspective, he had asked the question, look, can this person moving forward be someone who can lead an organization? Obviously not.
And Buster said, he discussed the impact that this will have on Major League Baseball.
I think this situation is going to be important within baseball, that everybody within the sport works off of this. Because I don't think anybody should be naive to think this is the only time this sort of thing has happened in a male-dominated industry. And it gives, you know, Major League Baseball a chance to investigate, gives teams a chance to, you know, have conversations with their employees about how horrible something like this is.
You know what? Just have this conversation with your employees. Make believe that somebody that you're just looking at as a conquest is actually a human being. And this is not the only time this has ever happened. Brett Favre with the young lady Jen Sterger. I mean, when does this work? What kind of low-life maneuvers is this? By the way, I know you're not interested, but now here's a picture. When does it work? When's that your go-to move? Who raised you?
This is obviously someone who likely had never had anything work. So he's grasping at straws because obviously he doesn't have a normal line of how to make things work.
Well, Brett Favre does.
Well, then there are some people who just want everything. And they want it how they want it.
Well, it just doesn't matter. It was something he felt like doing, and nothing else really mattered at the time because there was no thought behind how she may feel about it. What if this ever got out? It's like living in that moment of, I think this is a good idea. And we don't have to go over the list, Michael. There are plenty of people. Right?
Yeah.
Plenty of famous people, people in powerful positions that have done this. It's just weird to me.
And this does beg the question. This guy worked for the Cubs. He rose through the organization. The guy who runs the Cubs now works for Major League Baseball, Theo Epstein. Highly, widely respected. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. How could he have not known? Do people just turn a blind eye? Because they're very few people in this business that are smarter than Theo Epstein. Who was the does a Major League Baseball owe it to this story to find out who the person was that this woman talked to at the Cubs that said he didn't want to take sides? Doesn't that person have to lose their job too? Doesn't that person have to go tell Theo Epstein, by the way, Jared's sending these pictures to this woman? The fact that he didn't tells you that this is not a one-off. This is something that goes on in a male-fueled sports world. This is stuff that goes on and is tacitly accepted. And again, the women I know in the business could tell you stories, but they don't want to be painted as the person that's too sensitive for the job. It's wrong. It's wrong. They should step up. Every time it happens, they should actually say it publicly. And then it'll stop.
It may not be that simple, Michael. It may not be as simple as that executive is at fault, fire him, because he didn't take it to his authorities. He didn't take it to his higher-ups. He just said, I don't want to take sides. So right there, it looks like the bad guy. You got to investigate it further. Did he take it to the higher-ups? And the higher-ups said, listen, make this go away. I don't want to hear this. You know, or, you know, did he feel like that if he pursued it, his job would have been in jeopardy? We saw that with Penn State, remember? Like, if I blow the whistle, I'm the one that's going to get fired. I'm the one that's going to be the troublemaker. So that's what you got to go deep in to find out what the culture is. Is it one person acting rogue, or is there a culture where somebody can have information like this and is discouraged to pursue it? Not just her, but the people that she told.
And I don't think it's just sports. I think it's in a lot of male-dominated, like Wall Street. I mean, you hear horror stories about that all the time. Male-dominated industries. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's 2021. It really is ridiculous. You're sending pictures. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I was saddened by this. I really was. I think the guy might have an issue. I think he does. I don't think he's ever going to work again. He's 41 years old. He had his dream job. And then this is uncovered. It's really hard to grasp. And I would be less upset if this was just a one-time thing. It's not. No. It's not. It's not. And it's not just executives. It's players, too, who treat women reporters and it's a place of work. There's just too much of it.
The easy thing to digest is he's an idiot. Let's get rid of him. All right, that's the simple answer. But the more complex one and the dangerous one is that happening because the culture allows it to happen. And that,
well, also, I don't know if you guys caught this in the story. They went to Jared Porter, whether it was Mina or Jeff, and said, you know, you sent pictures. No, I didn't send any pictures. Well, we have the screen grabs. Oh, but that wasn't that was just a joke stock photo. So his first inclination was to lie.
Right.
I mean, that was it. Boom. It wasn't me. Oh, but we have proof. We have receipts. Oh, but that wasn't me. That was a joke photo. Oh, so even if it was a joke stock photo, you think that's the right thing to do? Well, I mean, we're going over this. That's not the problem. He's fired. The problem is that it goes on.
Right.
1-800-919-3776. Take your phone calls right after this on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Michael Kay Show, everybody. The Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. All right, let's go to the phones and see what you're thinking about this awful topic. Nick in the car started off. Nick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. This is just such a tough thing to talk about. And what you guys have been saying is the only thing anyone should be saying. I can't believe that people would have this take that there is this cancel culture or something like that. It's just absolutely shameful and disgusting. And you've seen it with huge executives like Harvey Weinstein. You've seen it all across these last couple of years. Like, when is enough is nothing? Us as men, to just treat others how we want to be treated. It's shameful. And
how about how you want your daughter to be treated?
Yeah, that's the good. That's
exactly.
The good.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree. I just, it's shameful that anyone would have any opinions that this is cancel culture or he shouldn't have been fired. The Mets did the right thing by canning him right away. I just, it's completely awful. And guys, thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you for making it.
You know what happens, Michael, when they talk about the cancel culture? She was afraid she'd get canceled.
Yep.
Right. See, that's the thing, is that she's afraid that if she blows the whistle, okay, even if Porter had gotten fired by the Cubs, she still could have become collateral damage where she's a troublemaker. Don't hire her. She's the one that got Porter fired. And then she ends up being the one that never really has a career. Isn't that part of the cancel culture? Isn't that what she was ultimately afraid of? And in 2016, wasn't the climate that the likelihood was that Porter would move on and she'd be the one to be out of baseball? Because she's the troublemaker.
Well, she was out of baseball before him because she just couldn't take it anymore. Let's go to Dakota in Brooklyn. Dakota.
Good afternoon, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain. You know, it's just a sad, sad thing. I grew up a big Mets fan, 28 years old. it's crazy. And like you go I look at this thing last night around 11 o'clock. I see the article pop up. I was like, no. And the first thing, you know, because I have a lot of Yankee fans, friends, the first thing you'll see is, oh, typical Mets. But there's no way to blame the Mets in this situation. Like there's no, like you guys said, you hit on all the right notes in your opening segment. I loved it. Like there's no way to have possibly known unless she came out to it herself and you guys admitted she talked to one of the people in the Cubs organization.
Well, I don't blame the Mets. I blame the people that he's worked for previously, specifically the Cubs, where we know that one of the executives in the Cubs knew this and let it go on and didn't report it to the highest level. And if he did report it to the highest level, that's somewhat problematic.
See, that's what baseball has to find out, Michael. How high did this go and what did the Cubs know, not know? And if we find out they knew it and didn't do anything about it, then doesn't Major League Baseball have to discipline the Cubs in some way to send a message that this we can't have this happen?
They have to. I don't know if you discipline the. I don't know if it goes to the Ricketts, the people who own the team, but and if the person that this woman spoke to is in baseball operations, that person has to be disciplined in a big way. Now, I don't think that person is as guilty as Porter. What Porter did is reprehensible. What the person that knew the story did was cowardly, and covering for right. his buddy has to be disciplined. And, right. and if firing is part of the discipline, then so be it.
And find out, did he tell somebody? Or why did he not tell? Because I think that's important, too. Did he not tell because he didn't think it was a big deal? Or did he not tell because things like this happened before and the messenger would become collateral damage and he didn't want to be that guy? You know, so you just can't leave it at that. You got to dig deeper and find out, you know, who knew and why didn't they know?
Really, all Rob Manfred has to do is go down the hall and ask Theo Epstein, what did you know?
Right.
Did you even know this was going on? I mean, he has access to him. Let's go to Lonnie in Harlem. Lonnie.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I just wanted to call and speak about the Jared Porter situation.
Okay.
Well, my question is for you guys. Well, first of all, I just want to say, Peter, you've been looking great lately.
Oh, thank you.
And Don, I love you. Michael, I love you too. You guys make my afternoons amazing.
Oh, thanks.
But my question is, if this happened in 2016 and it is now 2021, how is it that this man has risen to like organizations and everything? And if they knew about it, how is it that he's risen to the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, now the Mets? Like, if they knew about it, something like this, they should have been canned a long time ago. So I just don't know how you guys feel about that.
Well,
that something
I mean,
like this shouldn't happen.
I think that it's an old boys club, and that's not an excuse. I'm just trying to come up with a reason why they would not have known exactly what was going on. Again, we know that somebody in the Cub organization knew. We know that. She told him. So that's one layer. Now, whether or not that guy ever went upstairs and told the higher-ups, that I have no idea.
Well, that's the
now, whether or not the Diamondbacks ever knew, we have no idea. But my guess would be that this is not a one and done for Jared Porter. This is not the only time he used this method. I mean, you just don't send a picture like that one time in your life.
Right.
I think it's part of your playbook.
Yeah, he was following some sort of thing that he'd done before, and then when he got called out for it, you could see that he thought better of it.
Oh, he apologized, but you know, I always invoke my dad. Sorry doesn't fix the lamp. You apologize. You still sent that picture. You sent 62 unanswered texts to this woman. Get a hint.
But we have to find out who that Cub executive is and why did it die there. And did it die there? That's what baseball has to find out here. Because it is possible that she told an executive and the executive's like, well, I'm not going to be the one to tell them. So I'm not taking sides. I'm out. And if that's the case, then you should discipline, and that person should never work in baseball again either, because that led to everything that's happened since then. But if you find out that it was taken to Theo Epstein, he ignored it. If it was taken to the Ricketts and they ignored it, well, then they're culpable in this too.
Yeah, there's a big, big issue if it ever got upstairs and then was ignored. Maybe they read the guy the Riot Act, don't ever do it again. I don't know if that's enough. And if they read him the Riot Act, I'm sure Sandy Alderson had to call people at the Cubs. Well, what do you know about Jared Porter? Is it, you know, we're going to entrust him with the GM position of you know, one of the, you know, premier franchises right. in the sport. And the Cubs are all good. He's a great guy.
But if somebody at the Cubs, let's say Theo Epstein knew that this happened, is he ignorant enough to think that it would never come out and that it wouldn't be traced back to him? Like, wouldn't he feel an obligation to tell the Mets, listen, I wouldn't hire him because or hire him at your own peril, because let me tell you this. This is on his resume. If this ever comes out, kind of thing. So I don't think you should hire him, because let's face it, nobody – this is – if he stays an assistant, if he just bounces around as a scout, it's probably, unfortunately for her, not a big enough name for anybody to care. But now that he's about to be hired by, of all teams, the New York Mets in the biggest market in the country, then doesn't Theo have to tell the Mets to save his own hide? Does he really think that this is just going to be buried and not come out?
Well, but we are taking a leap. We have no idea if Theo Epstein knew.
No, but
if he did know, then that's problematic.
But, right. But I'm saying, I'm just taking the example of if he didn't know, then obviously there's nothing to tell the Mets. And I'm kind of leaning possibly towards that. But if he knew, just to save his own hide, wouldn't he have to tell the Mets, don't hire this guy?
You would think so. But again, you wonder, is it the old boys club where everybody's protecting each other? All right, we'll come back. We'll take more phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. We will have a little fun today as we will talk with Triple H of WWE fame at 4:30 about the just released locations of the next three WrestleManias, Royal Rumble, the whole deal. So Triple H at 4:30. So stick around, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You want to have a real chilling paragraph? Ken Rosenthal wrote this in The Athletic. This is his lead paragraph. More than anything, it makes me sad and frustrated and angry that women in the sports industry face this kind of crap, not just in rare, isolated cases, regularly, if not damn near every day.
Yep.
Think about that. Think about that. In a society where you get everything you want, you don't want to climb mountains. You want things handed to you, and when they're not handed to you, you go to extremes. It's unbelievable. What they have to realize is that the locker room in the clubhouse is not, it's not a disco. It's not a club per se. The people there are working. They're working. Why can't you let them work? Amazing.
Well, just think about, it's not even that long ago when you think about, you know, players not wanting female reporters in the room, like fighting. You know, Sam Weish walking around naked in the halls in Cincinnati, remember?
Yep.
What Zeke Moat did, you know, back in the – I mean, we're talking like 25 years ago. Not 100 years ago. Not 50 years ago. You know, and women have contributed so much to the sports right now, and I bet you, Michael, like was alluded to in that story, I bet you every single one of them has a story.
Absolutely.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, everyone. Every single one. Jeff Passan was on with Greeny. He's one of the writers of the story. And he said baseball has to protect women better.
That's why we write this story. So hopefully others who are doing this do get exposed. And others who have made these choices to victimize women in a sport where it is allowed. I hate to use that word, but what is Major League Baseball or what is the baseball community doing to actively protect women from predators and perpetrators? I'd like to ask that question to Rob Manfred. I'm curious what he'd say about that, because baseball has been a sport that for a really long time, not just baseball, Greeny, the entire sports world has been a place that has been inhospitable to women. And while we've made progress isn't enough. There need to be moonshots. There need to be leaps. There need to be changes in the sports culture that allow women to thrive like they deserve to.
There should be one simple rule. One simple rule. It's easy. Anyone with a press credential, off limits. You cannot see them outside the ballpark, outside the stadium, outside the arena. Off limits. It's not like there's not a deep pool of potential candidates for these men to go out with. Anybody that is in that room working, you will be fined or suspended if we find that you have any kind of interaction with them. There are enough possible people that you could date outside of people that are working. And if you do, in fact, make any kind of move toward any of them, and it's done very slickly, very slickly. Let's say an NBA room, okay? And there's a woman that's working in the room, and one of the players takes notice of her. He sends over the ball boy. Hey, this is his number, blah, blah, blah. Or can I have your number? He wants it. That sort of stuff. Now, this is somebody that's trying to cover the team. So they don't want to lose that player. So they're caught between the rock and the hard place. Just put that rule in if you're an organization. You cannot have any kind of relations with anybody that has a press credential.
But that seems a little much to me.
Why?
Because I do think it is humanly possible for an executive to fall in love with, you know, somebody reporting on the team and it not get to that, right? I mean, I
don't think you can do it.
Being.
I'm sorry, you can't do it.
But it can.
But
be
a position
done.
Of power. But you can't because these men are in a position of power and you don't know if the relationship is an equal relationship. They've got enough people that they could fall in love with. I'm sorry.
But here's what a rule like that is almost admitting. We can't do anything about it. Or that men are such animals, we now have to make sure that they completely separate from everybody else because they can't conduct themselves like human beings. When there are plenty of people that can, right? Because what the culture that ends up getting cultivated during that period is, don't even talk to women. Because as soon as you start talking to him, she's going to misunderstand and she's going to get you fired. No, I don't want to have to do that.
I'm sorry.
Right?
That's the way the world is right now.
I want to interact with human beings. You know why? Because I know how to interact with human beings. I know how to ask somebody out. All right. I know how to have I know you'd call me awkward, but even though I'm awkward, I still think that I can actually have a conversation with somebody, ask somebody for a drink without being a filthy freaking animal.
But you can't do it, Don, because there's different levels of power and there's different levels of pressure. That's why in any kind of business now, if there's a relationship in the office, you have to go to HR and report it. And they discourage it.
Right,
but you shouldn't do it.
Right, but then what ends up happening is then the men and the women aren't even talking to each other because I don't want to talk to you because I might glance down and you're going to get me fired. Like I don't want I want everybody to be able to get along and you could be normal. It just let's get rid of the people that are abnormal. Okay,
but I'm not
let's
saying
get rid
that
of the
you...
people that are the Jared Porters who don't have common sense.
But I'm not saying that you can't talk to women. We talk to women that work at 98.7 ESPN. You really can't flirt with them and ask them out because there's an imbalance of power. You can't do it. You can't. There are a lot of other people to ask out in the world.
But
I'm sure if you fall in love with somebody that's working for the same company, you've got to say no.
Here's the problem. I hear what Don's saying, though, because here's the problem. If you decide to govern things in that way, so many people only meet people through work. That's where they end up getting to connect with people. That's where they make friends. That you end up just building another level of secrecy to it. It's never going to go away. You just end up getting almost worse behavior because you're burying it more. I know
what
your Don's
what happens,
point,
Peter, because this is what ends up happening. All right, then there's almost no communication because you're going to people that are going to exaggerate this situation. The yo-yos are going to be like, I'm not even going to talk to him. And then you might get a situation where there's a man, there's a woman that are both qualified. I'm going to hire the man because I don't want there ever to be any kind of miscommunication. What dating people, talking to people, having a relationship with people, those are all fine if it's done the right way. But it's people like Jared Porter that take it crazily. When you ask somebody that's subservient to you in the workplace, right? And you ask them for a drink and they say no and then you fire them, that's not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but
that's
sometimes they'll say yes because you're afraid that you'll get fired. That's why it can't go on. I understand what Peter's saying, that sometimes the only place that you because most of your day is spent at work. But in this specific case, baseball players, football players, basketball players, hockey players should not be asking out members of the media or somebody working at their team. Sorry, they shouldn't. That should be the rule. It's not that difficult. These guys do not have a problem meeting women. They don't have to meet women that work.
Well, and Jared Porter wasn't a ball player too. So I'm not saying that makes it more okay at all. Maybe in fact it's the opposite. However, he's not in the same situation as a ball player. For better or for worse.
Let's take a quick time out because we want to hear Sandy Alderson. He's going to talk to the media in a couple of minutes. Michael Kasho on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kasho podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Triple H. We have the Royal Rumble a week from Sunday. That's on the WWE Network. And our very own Peter Rosenberg is on the kickoff, of course. I think it'd be a great idea. You can incorporate Peter into some kind of match where he gets thrown around the ring and hurt just a little.
I think that anything that involved Peter getting hurt would be incredibly popular with
yes. yes.
Peter would agree with that.
It depends on what it was.
I'm willing to say if I know where he is going to be on the kickoff show, I'm willing to offer it to you. Would you like to come and be the one to hurt him?
Oh, no, I don't know if that would be a good look because I've got to keep up appearances like I like him. But there are a lot of people that don't, so I think that's the thing to do.
The Michael Kay Show.
I will look into it and see what we can do.
Awesome.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. The big story today is the Met GM, former GM now, Jared Porter, after a story in ESPN.com revealing that he sent inappropriate lewd text messages to a reporter, a woman reporter, was fired by Steve Cohen just before 8 o'clock this morning. Sandy Alderson had released a statement earlier in the evening when the story came out. After speaking to Porter, but they did not decide to fire him at that point. He said after reading the story, he didn't feel as comfortable, and he and Cohen both came to the same agreement that he had to go. It's interesting. He said that everyone he spoke to, the Cubs and the Diamondbacks, had no prior knowledge that anything like this had gone on. Now, we know that there's somebody in the Cub organization that knew. But maybe that's not the person he spoke to. Maybe that person didn't speak to the higher-ups. He also interned with the Boston Red Sox under Theo Epstein. And Sam Kennedy, the president of the Red Sox, said, we never had a problem with him while he was here. Never saw anything of that sort. Now, I think he was talking to the media for about 45 minutes. Hannah Kaiser, who covers baseball for Yahoo Sports, said, okay, you spoke to a lot of people about him. But did you speak to any women about Jared Porter? Here's Sandy Alderson.
No, that's one of the unfortunate circumstances that exists in the game today. There aren't women in those positions with whom one can have a conversation and develop information or check references.
So that was his answer to that. And he also goes on to say you can't just say it's baseball or nail it down to one specific thing. Sandy said that when this happened, it's a societal issue.
I think men should be accountable. And as I said, I think this is a societal problem. Sometimes men and women view these situations somewhat differently. And that's a result of, at least in my case, men being less sensitive to these issues, which is why we get back to the importance of diversity in a front office or in our organization. It's important that different sensitivities are reflected in not decision making, but in, you know, assessing the situation and determining, you know, what's appropriate. So, no, you're right. It's not about putting the onus on women. I hope I wasn't misunderstood that way. The onus is on all of us to root this out where it exists. And as I said, I wouldn't just indict Major League Baseball on this particular incident, but I think it's reflective of larger problems we have. And maybe they're somewhat more prevalent in professional sports, but based on what I've read as recently as today, perhaps that's the case.
Well, it's an awful indictment of professional sports. And I have always said this. Most athletes have gotten everything that they've wanted since they were a very young age. They're always the best at what they do. If you make it to the major leagues, or if you make it to the top level of the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, you are always the best wherever you were. Even if you're the worst player on a team in the pros, you were the best in your neighborhood. You were the best in your high school. And you always got your way. You've always been coddled. Anything that you did wrong usually was swept under the rug. And I think that's a problem that extends into this realm where a professional athlete is never denied. Now, this is not a professional athlete we're talking about, right, but he's part of a culture that feels like that, that he felt it was okay to send 62 unanswered texts to this reporter. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, you always ask questions like this. I will tell you this. I can't see, even though he's 41 years old, I can't see Jared Porter ever getting another job in professional sports. I just can't see it happening. This thing will follow him, and it should follow him, because it's inexcusable what he did.
No, absolutely. You know, so, yeah, he's probably done in that industry, or he's going to have to do a lot of making up to for there to be a trust gained again. But to be a general manager in Major League Baseball, I would think not. But, you know, the thing is, Michael, he was a nobody at the time he did this.
Right.
You know,
well,
so
I mean,
this
but,
had nothing
yeah,
to do with
being, he was on the rise.
This is not a professional athlete who's never been told no. He's you or me. He's anybody. He's Joe Schmo. He's not a public figure. He did this because, you know, I don't think he did it because he figured he'd get away with it because of the culture of baseball. He didn't think with his head. I mean, that's what it came down to. He did something really stupid that a lot of people do, not because they're enabled by it. It's just that that's just who they are, you know. And unfortunately, then the culture of baseball comes into where it gets nothing ever happens. You know, now you fast forward, and this is probably what disturbed the woman who was the victim in all this, is that now you fast forward 5 years later, and it didn't harm him at all. He's now, you know, a general manager, because her accusations didn't gain any traction and it never went anywhere. I mean, that's the scary thing. So I don't think he was emboldened by baseball to do this, Michael. I think the fact that it never got uncovered and just continued to, you know, he continued to be on the fast track to being one of the top executives in the sport is a part of the culture.
Now, he was fired for cause, so he will not be paid his contract. So I don't know how he moves forward. I don't know what his next move could be. You know, he could come out and say that he needs help and maybe seeks help, and maybe that helps him move forward. I don't know if he should be helped moving forward. He did it. It's awful, and I feel sorry for the woman who had to go through it. And as I said at the start of the show, I feel sorry for every woman that has to work a professional locker room and hear the snide comments and be hit on and be leered at. I feel sorry for them. Well, because it should be a safe space for women to do their job. But, go to work and not worry about this nonsense.
Right, but Sandy, there was a couple of hiccups in the press conference, there's no question, but he said some very important things about there's zero tolerance within this organization, that baseball needs to do a better job. Okay, well now, what I would say to a woman that experiences anything like this again, well now you've got to call them on their BS, right? Like, all right, well, you just said that. So then there should be a culture now where if anything ever happens within baseball that this won't happen again, that this will be fast-tracked, that these people will be vetted, and they will be rooted out of baseball. Like, you can't have a story 3 years from now that there was a woman that came forward and it didn't go anywhere. I mean, Sandy said it. This has to stop. And I think Major League Baseball has got to, like, set the precedent. We are open. And I guess the only way that that there could be any healing for Porter would be if this was an isolated incident. Because what could very easily happen now over the next few months is that more and more women come forward, and then he'd be sunk. If this ended up being just an isolated dumb thing that he did, could he maybe work in the media? Could he get a job someplace else? Possibly. But if this is just the start of it all, then
even if it's just once, it's too toxic. And I believe that Major League Baseball is going to investigate, and in all likelihood, they will suspend him for life. Where if he tries to get a job, he's going to have to get approved by them.
Oh, and baseball's done. But I think he could work again.
Well, where? Bagging groceries? I don't think he can work in professional sports.
No, I think he's done in the professional sports industry. But
that's not a knock on bagging groceries, by the way.
And that's sort of a separate conversation for another day. You know, what do you do with people who do things like this? Is there a road to redemption? Is the answer simply to just get rid of people for life?
I don't know if you make that a concerted. That's a great point, Peter. You don't make it a concerted effort. Let's get rid of them for life. I just don't think that any team will go there. I think it will be an independent decision. We can't touch this guy because it's almost like a tacit approval of what he did.
Well,
I think the first thing he has to do is go and get help.
Now I know this is a complex conversation, but I think that all the problems sort of go together. We're in denial to some degree that the culture is what it is. So we don't allow women to feel safe at their workplace and speaking up about these things. And then as part of our desire to pretend that these things don't happen, when we do catch wind of it, we just want to ban the person, get rid of them, and act as if this isn't a pervasive problem in society. And I know that's a really tough conversation, but the fact of the matter is everyone who does something like this, you can't tell me that none of them have a possible road to redemption. Maybe they do. But because we live in a world where no one wants to talk about any of it, the only solution is to never touch the person again.
Could be. I just think that in the environment that we are in society, this is really a big deal.
It is.
It's a big deal. So... And I feel sorry for the woman who, in the story, she said she left the business because of this. So she could have lost a career because of this guy's insistent lewd texting. It's awful.
Well, it sounds
how many women are like that? That were driven out of the business because they didn't want to put up with this nonsense.
Yeah. But it's very interesting to play the role of the tough guy, right? About, well, this guy will never work in the business again. How easily would we be discarding this if it had been a professional athlete? And a very good one.
It's a great point.
Would he be he be done?
Brett Favre wasn't.
You know, that's interesting, Michael, because that was at a different time when Brett Favre did that. That was pre-Me Too.
But Antonio Brown's playing right now.
What's that?
Antonio Brown's playing right now. The stories are somewhat similar.
You know, so... You know, we seem to be a little bit more forgiving when it's somebody that is a professional athlete that can help our team win, as opposed to, oh, this is an executive who never really even got a chance to make the baseball season. He'll be crumpled up, discarded, and he'll be bagging groceries for the rest of his life. I mean, so to answer your question, you can get up from it. It's just a matter of whether the general public is going to give you that chance. Now, he's going to have to do a lot of work. Maybe he does seek help. Maybe over the next 10 years he does a lot of great things that kind of forward and turn it into a positive and kind of change the image. But even at the best case scenario, he is someone that might be able to get some kind of high profile job. I don't know if any baseball team would ever touch him again. No.
Well, I mean, the sad part, and you guys bring up a great point, athletes do terrible things. And unfortunately, I've said this before, talent is the great deodorizer. And I guess there are way more people that could fill the 30 spots of GM than could actually be a professional athlete. So he is a great example. You know, a position of high power shouldn't be that person, but no one should be that person But ball players do come back for from it. If it's, let's say it's the best player in the NBA that did it, he's not drummed out of the NBA for life. He's just not. And that's sad. All right, speaking of the NBA, Kyrie Irving has finally spoken with the media. Now, he is according to Steve Nash, the coach of the Nets, he's expected to play tomorrow in Cleveland against the Cavs. So there's a lot of excitement surrounding that. The game will be on YES. I'm sure it's going to get great ratings. First time the big three will be together. The Nets last night with a beautiful game against Milwaukee, where Harden played well and Durant played well. So they played well together. So there's more pressure on Kyrie now. Well, don't mess this up. And a lot of people think that that could be the fly in the ointment simply because of the fact, is he going to fit with Harden? But with Kyrie speaking today, you would hope that there were going to be some levels of resolution where we know why he did not show up. It remains a mystery, everybody, so it just does. Here is Kyrie answering, why did you miss time?
There's a lot of family and personal stuff going on, so just want to leave it at that.
So, again, is it all right to know? Now, if you watch the video of him talking, it was on a Zoom call, the body language was awful. He had his hands crossed in front of him, his head down on his hands. He wasn't even sitting up straight. And he looks like a guy. I don't want to play dime store psychologist. It's like a guy who doesn't want to be there. I mean, there didn't seem to be any excitement. Anyway, he goes on to talk about people don't know what's going on.
Thing that is pretty interesting in watching, when you take a break from everything, there's just so many assumptions about what's going on. And so many people feel like they know me best. And they have no idea who I am, nor what I'm about, nor what I stand for, or even attempt to take the time, or even for me to invite them to take the time. So it's a two-way street. And when things become overwhelming in life, you know, you just got to take a step back and realize what's important. And I love to play. That's never been questioned. I've committed myself when this wasn't even a thing for me. You know, I didn't really care about media, didn't really care about the fandom. All I cared about was just the ethics of the game and being taught the fundamentals. And now that it's become bigger and it's more of a responsibility that I have in this position I'm in, I'm grateful because I'm able to stand on this platform with others alongside of me that have sacrificed and are going through similar things. So I'm not alone in this.
Now, I don't know if you guys agree with me. I'm certainly empathetic that if he's having any issues, but you can't really knock people for wondering what's going on and talking to quote-unquote friends if you're going to remain silent. You could solve it all. Just say, this is what's going on. This is why I'm... So you're leaving it open to interpretation, and you can't really be upset when it's interpreted incorrectly because you're not giving anybody a clue why you decided to miss 7 NBA games.
Well, when was it ever a two-way street, Michael? When has he ever had the dialogue with the media to explain to us what's going on? Like he's basically accusing us. You don't know me. You don't know my situation. Who are you to judge me? Who are you to say what's going on? It's a two-way street. Well, you're not giving us anything, Kyrie. I mean, you haven't had a press conference to tell us what's going on. You haven't done any kind of interviews to let us know. So you've left us to guess. It hasn't been a two-way street. As a matter of fact, you shut us down even before the season started. What was the word he used, guys? That we were?
Pawns.
We were pawns. You know, so he shut us down. So there was no way to have a two-way street dialogue, you know? So that's BS right there. And I guess you're right. He's under no obligation to tell the general public what's going on. But you're a public figure under contract. Not playing. Now you've left us to try to figure out why. And now you've got in it. There was I don't remember the person's name. It was tweeted at all of us. Somebody tweeted like a long thread of explaining why it's okay for Kyrie to do what he's doing. And the way to summarize it basically was, Peter, that he's got a mental health issue. But that's still a guess. If you want to support him because you think he's got a mental health issue, well, you're guessing as much as I might be guessing that he's a bad guy. Or Michael's guessing that it's because the earth's flat and he's afraid he's going to fall off. Or Peter guessing that it's because of social issues and he thinks those are more than playing. They're all guesses. But you're not Joe Schmo. You're a public figure. You've got teammates. You left your you left your head coach hanging for a while, not even returning his text messages or his phone calls. You went off the reservation, and I'm supposed to forgive you because you're a really good guy and you get involved in social issues. That's great, but you still are not honoring your contract. You're not playing in games.
Now, he was asked by our very own Malika Andrews, asked about violating protocols.
Hi, Kyrie. I'm wondering if you were aware that you had violated the health and safety protocols and what that process was like for you in coming back and going through that investigation, one. And then secondly, what your communication was like with the team while you were away.
Happy to be back. Happy to be around these guys. Address the team, address everybody that needed to be addressed. Now it's time to move on.
Bruce Beck.
On the health and safety front.
I'm sorry, Malika, go ahead.
I just was circling back on the health and safety front.
Happy to be back. Thank you.
Well, he's tough.
So it's finally, not a two-way street then, right? I mean, there is a perfect example. It's not a two-way street. He did not answer the question, which I think is a legitimate one.
Oh, yeah.
He was investigated for violating protocols, right, Peter?
Yeah.
He got fined $500,000.
So exactly how is it a two-way street when she's asking a legitimate question to find out information? Was it a misunderstanding? You know, did you think you were honoring the protocols and not realizing the rules? Did you do it what was the purpose? And then you're moving on. So stop with the two-way street. So now we're left to guess that.
And
he's
finally,
playing games with us, man. He really is playing. I mean, I really feel bad for a diehard Net fan that cares. Like, I can just shut it down because it doesn't matter to me. But for people that root for him, that root for the Nets, why do they deserve this? Why do they deserve it? What, for the hope and potential that he might lead to a championship?
I think the Nets organization probably cringes. Anyway, finally, he talks about mental health and balancing priorities.
That's just a big thing about also mental health, you know, just coming in and being balanced with yourself first and then being able to perform. You know, with everything going on in the world, politically, socially, like I said, it's hard to ignore. I want to make changes daily. You know, there are so many oppressed communities, so many things going on that are bigger than just a ball going in the rim. And so for me, I just, like I said, it's just the balance of it, of knowing I can delegate my responsibilities off the court to people that I'm surrounded around that are for the fight and are fighting behind the scenes and in front in the lines. And, you know, like I said, I'm not the only one that's fighting, so I'm grateful to unify with others. And that's all I've tried to do. And on the court, the same way, just play with a smile, leave something that I've felt very dear to my heart with this game. And then, you know, whatever my legacy is after that as a person, that's all I really care about.
Can I be frank, guys? And we have the break because we have Jeff Passan coming on at 5:30. I got to be frank about this. He's talking gibberish. He didn't answer a question. He didn't satisfy anybody's need to know. And you can say, well, do we really need to know? Yeah, well, you're a public figure. Fans want to know. The Nets want to know. Your teammates want to know. He spoke to each and every one of them. He didn't say anything in this press conference today to add any clarity to the situation. Any clarity.
I think, honestly, he is an ultra-intelligent person that is just loving playing games with us. He loves it. And he's been enabled enough where he can get away with it because he's that good of a basketball player. I just think he's batting us around like a bunny.
Yeah, that's how it feels. It feels like he's just totally – which, listen, I mean, whatever floats your boat. The only thing I really resent about it is, like, congratulations, man. It's cool that you care about social issues and this is important to you. Just so you know, you are not the first. And there are a lot of people who do it while doing their jobs. Like, one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other. The whole idea of it's more important than putting a ball in the rim, yeah, we know. No one's suggesting that if you go to work at night, you think that's more important than the issues facing our country. They're not mutually exclusive, dude.
This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana, Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Now, before we go to break, I want to remind everybody, Super Bowl 55 is around the corner, and when it's game day, there's a Bud Light there. That's why 98.7 ESPN and Bud Light are giving away a Super Bowl home-gating prize package, including a 50-inch TV, a pellet grill, a cornhole set, Pong table, Yeti cooler, and more. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg will be qualifying listeners every day in the 7 a.m. hour through Friday, January 29th, when they announce the grand prize winner of over $2,000 worth of home gating gear. Now, to enter, You'll need the keyword announced every day in the 5 p.m. hour of this show. Today's keyword is Humpty. Humpty. Mm. So tune into DCR tomorrow in the 7 a.m. hour and listen for the cue to call, which is this.
That's BudLive.com/delivery.
And you'll score an Amazon Echo Dot and qualify to win the Home Gating with Bud Light grand prize. Mm. It's all from Bud Light. Find a Bud Light at your local beer retailer or located delivery retailer at BudLight.com/delivery.
And the beer.
Of course. And the smartest station in the game, 98.7 ESPN. To listen on your smart speakers, just say play 98.7 ESPN. We come back with Jeff Passan, who wrote the story that kind of set the sports world on fire today with Mina Kimes. So we'll talk to Jeff in just a moment. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.